are God's creations, each of us crafted for a purpose. We begin our journey as dreamers in a world filled with possibility. Nothing seems impossible. Along the way, we begin to settle, and dreams are replaced with details. Routine takes over. We find ourselves listening to the thoughts of limitations, our purpose and desire lost in the blaring static of our lives. And still, in our deepest places, we feel a push towards something more, a sense that we were made for something greater. We yearn most for a life of significance instead of survival. Let's discover what was lost, restore what was diminished, and live out our purpose. It's time to dream again.
Amen, Victory Church. I've been enjoying watching that every week. Sometimes, you know, you see a sermon, you know, a little video, and if you're faithful and you come here every single week, if it's a long series, you go, all right, man, I don't get tired of watching that one. That was a good one. Very inspiring, very encouraging, and I've been talking to a lot of people in the church and been so blessed by this message series and some great people. In fact, I just want to give honor real quick to Jan Kuhn, who's just such a lovely lady in the church, and she heads up our Helping Hands ministry in our church, and she just has a heart to help people, and she was telling me she has a dream to start a food kitchen, like a food pantry at the church. It's like, we don't know how that's going to happen, but God's going to do it. It's something cool about just dreaming big and thinking about, like, how can we do something great for the glory of God and for the blessing of other people? That's so great, and I just look forward to seeing where God takes that dream. It's going to be so great. If you got a worship guide this morning, you'll find inside there sermon notes for this message, so you can follow along. It's an outline. If you did not get a worship guide or you like an extra copy of sermon notes, raise your hand. The ushers are going to get them to you. Keep them up high so that they can get it to you quickly. And they don't miss you, so keep it up high so they get it to you. And the thing is, the first two messages of this sermon series were very instructional, just foundational teachings. This is going to be more of an inspirational message. It's going to be kind of to wrap it up, encourage us. In fact, the title is Don't Give Up on Your Dreams. So it's a very encouraging, inspiring message. That's my hope and prayer this morning. But we have had some theme verses. They need some up at the front. Two more of them. Thank you, guys. We've had some theme verses that's been consistent. I'm going to share these two. Proverbs 29:18 in your sermon notes. If people can't see what God is doing, basically, if they don't have clarity in their lives, if they don't see clearly and understand, in other words, understand the season that we're living in. Okay, I mean, it doesn't take much. You just look at the news and understand, boy, we're in some really serious times in our world and in our country. There's a lot of things shifting. There's a lot of disconcerting news that's out there. And we as God's people need to be able to see clearly and have clarity and have a clear message as well during these times where there's so much confusion in the world. And right is called wrong is called right, and the lines are blurred, and people don't know what truth is and what the standard of measurement is for truth. So we as God's people and as individuals need to be clear about where God stands on certain issues and also where God stands as far as our dreams for our lives and the dreams for this nation as well. So what is God, you know, people can't see what God is doing. This is what happens. You see it in the world. They stumble all over themselves. And we as God people can do the same thing. Stumble all over ourselves, be confused. But when they attend to what he reveals, when they pay attention to it and attend to it and care for it, what God reveals, they are most blessed. And that's our prayer for you, is that you would be most blessed. Not just kind of, most blessed by God. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, Pastor Bill was talking about, you know, are we in the last days? He'll address that very clearly next week. But this is what God says in his word about the last days. God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. And what does that look like? Well, there's going to be three things: prophecy, visions, and dreams that you're going to see. Basically, you're going to see people, they're not going to be focused on the realities of now. They're going to be focused on what God's doing, what God's saying, and where he's taking us as a people. That's what the Spirit of God looks like. And the Spirit of God is already out in the world and blessing people, but it's going to be an outpouring, a filling. And if you haven't experienced, I pray that you experience that just overwhelming flow of the Holy Spirit in your life so you can dream again. Amen. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. not focus on the realities of today, but what God's doing. What God's doing, where God is taking us. And some people may ask, you know, well, what are you talking about, like dreams, like when you're sleeping at night? It's like, no, in fact, I hardly hear from God during those. I have weird dreams. Like, I ate bad pizza last night, and I have a weird dream kind of dream. It's like, that's an upset stomach dream. you don't want to know about my dreams. And I'll end it there. I'm talking about, like God-inspired imaginings and passions and desires. What God's speaking to your spirit and in your heart, and it kind of puts in your mind's eye a picture of what he wants to do in your life. That's very important to pray and ask for that. Pastor Bill already talked about that, so you can catch that on the church website if you missed those two. But some people may ask, well, how do I know if what I'm seeing is a God dream, or is it the pizza I ate last night? Is it that bad burrito? You know, it's like, what? How do I know? And this, I didn't have room to put it in your sermon notes, so please write this in the margins. If you know, find space, write it in. Just four questions. You can just ask yourself these four things just to measure whether this is a God dream or not. Does it line up with the Bible? Does it line up with the Bible? God will be very clear. He doesn't contradict himself. Dream is contradicting something in Scripture, it's not from God. He's not speaking it to you. He's not showing it to you. I'll just end it right there. Next one is, will it make me more like Christ? That's an important question to ask. Will this dream make me more like Christ when it's accomplished? Now, the thing about Christ is he had character and he had action, right? So during this process of fulfilling this dream, is Christ-like character going to be forged in you? And will you be doing the things that Jesus did? Performing the great acts and miracles and ministering out of your gifting the way that Jesus did? Good questions to ask. Next, do those in spiritual authority confirm it? Do those in spiritual authority confirm it? Like, God's going to place in your life pastors and small group leaders and people who are praying for you and youth pastors who they love you, and parents, godly parents who fear God and love the Lord. They're going to be there to God has blessed spiritual authority to kind of watch out for you, not to control you, that's weird, but to encourage you and to help guide you along the way and pray for you. And listen, if, like, here's the thing, like, my mom growing up, she saw a vision of me being a preacher way before I did. She saw me in ministry. I was like 5, and I'm like, what are you talking about, Mom? You know, it's like, I didn't know what she was talking about, but she saw it in me. And the moment that I called her, I've only been in ministry full-time 2 years, but when I called her and let her know that I was taking a full-time position in the church, she cried over the phone, just cried. I mean, the dream that God gave her for my life was being fulfilled. That's a special thing. If you're a parent praying for your kids, don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. Don't give up on those dreams for your children. Don't give up. God's going to make it come to pass. Keep praying, no matter what it looks like. Next thing you want to ask is it focused on others? Is it focused on others? God's not interested in building up our ego. He's not interested in one-man shows. And, like, that's why I love our dream team around here. They're just a team coming together, making a difference. They make the Sunday service happen every Sunday, minister to children, ushers, greeters, soundboard, amazing people in the back. In fact, the sound guys and the media team and the video, they don't get enough glory and praise. And let's just give them some honor. You guys are awesome back there. And they go, stop, we're introverts. Stop looking at us. Okay, look this way now. All right, yeah. Love you guys. I want to let you know. I love you so much. So, all right, that's like the pre-message. Let's go on to the meat of the message. Don't give up on your dreams. How do I keep from giving up on my dreams? That's a good question. We all have days where we think about quitting. You ever thought about quitting before? And that shock you. Even as a pastor, I've thought about quitting. I've only been in it for 2 years. First year was, I had anxiety attacks at night. I mean, it was a lot of pressure. I was new to it. I didn't know how to handle it. I thought about quitting. Thank God I didn't. I didn't. But, I mean, even on the journey leading up into full-time ministry, I thought about quitting. I many of you know this, but if you're new, relatively new, haven't heard my story, I went to the University of Florida, and I went to Jacksonville University. I worked for 6 years getting a Bachelor's of Science in Chemistry, a Bachelor's of Science in Chemical Engineering, and an Applied Mathematics minor. My goal was to have the best resume that would swallow up and dwarf all other resumes. I would be guaranteed a job after I graduate. And God, in his sovereign hand, allowed the recession to happen in 2010, right when I graduate, and no one was hiring. No one. That was disconcerting. But guess what? God was saying, well, I'm using it to direct you on this path because, listen, there's a dream that I gave your mother, and I'm wanting you to fulfill it. And he starts stirring up a dream in my heart. But listen, this path was not easy. I had to work to eat, okay? It's one thing, dreams are nice, but you got to be practical too. And along the journey, I had to throw newspapers at night. That was the worst job I've ever had in my life. 3 years of working at night, nighttime hours. Anyway, work nighttime, that's hard hours. Early morning from like 12 a.m. to 6 a.m. Your sleep schedule gets crazy. And you work with crazy people too. Crazy, amen? You know, it's like everyone's like not on the right sleep schedule. Their hopes and dreams are being deferred. They're like in a dead-end job. And guess what? God taught me how to be a pastor in that season. I learned how to love people right where they're at. But it was hard. And I felt like quitting multiple times. All right, let's just give you some reference. Newspaper carriers, they have to bag their own papers, you know, and sometimes it's hundreds of papers. They have to insert their own papers, fold them up, bag it, toss it in their car. Then they have to drive at night with the windows down, tossing, you know, okay, not so bad. But when it's 25 degrees in the cold winter, and I can't wear gloves because you just can't do it fast enough with the gloves. It just slips. So your fingers are numb, and then when you're throwing, you got the heater on full blast because the windows are down, the wind chill factor is zero or negative 20. I don't know. It's crazy. And I'm wearing a ski mask to stay warm. A ski mask in Florida. When does that ever happen? When you throw newspapers at night in wintertime. And I was just crying in the car saying, God, what's happening? What's going on? But God was faithful, and he brought me through it. He'll bring you through it, too. Don't give up on your dreams. And really, this message is dedicated to those who are just smiling on the outside. You're coming in Sunday service. You got the Sunday smile on. How you doing? Praise the Lord. Doing good. Glory to God. And inside, you're like, don't talk to me. I'm having a bad week. You know, it's like, inside, you're like, my life's, I'm about to quit. I'm about to quit. This message is for you. And here's the thing. Dreams are conceived. This is important. Dreams are conceived long before they're achieved. It's just the reality of it. There is a process. There's a journey. Dreams are conceived long before they're achieved. You can say amen, but it's like, keep saying amen because there's a journey. There's a process. And you can't really talk about this journey and process without going to the story of Joseph in the Bible. Any of you know that story? Earlier in the year, we did a sermon series called Running with the Giants, and we talked about this giant of faith called Joseph. One of the oldest stories in the Bible, in the first book of the Bible, called Genesis. And we can pick it up in chapter 37, verse 5. Joseph had a dream. Praise God. I think of like Martin Luther King, and he's like, his I had a dream speech. I love watching that. Man, go on YouTube. If you haven't watched that speech, watch it. It will just bless you, especially during times like this where racial tensions are just ridiculous right now in our country. Come on, the church needs to be speaking out like Dr. King did, and we as a church need to be speaking out on this and understand, listen, there's still a dream for healing in our nation. Amen? And it can happen in the church first, and then it will spread out. Come on. That's good preaching. Come on. Joseph had a dream. When he told it to his 10 older brothers. He was the youngest. He was the 11th. He was the favorite of his dad and the youngest, the baby. Told his brothers, said they hated him all the more. They already hated him because his dad favored him and gave him a coat of many colors. Not only that, but Joseph wasn't too smart either. He tattletailed on his brothers as well. So that's a great way to be hated by older siblings. And he got away with it. But he said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed. Glory to God, bowed down to me. As I, boy, you're just right there, you just get a glimpse. Like, his character is not ready yet. You can see why the dream doesn't just happen right there. Because his character isn't ready. His heart isn't ready. He's still too proud. He's boasting in front of his brothers about this dream. It should be humbling. It's like, oh my gosh, that's a responsibility with that dream. I don't know if I'm ready for it. But no, he you can tell God needed to work on him. And boy, did he ever. There is a process. And his brothers, they weren't too thrilled about it when they heard it. They said, in verse 19, it says, here comes that dreamer. Just mocking him. Ever had anyone mock you for a dream that you had? something big that you knew was from God, and someone's just like, what are you, crazy? What are you thinking? That's what these guys were like. Said to each other, come now, let's kill him. That's our solution. We hate him. Let's kill him. You ever had a sibling where you're like, I got a plan. I'm going to kill you. Yeah? No, we have perfect families in our church. No. Let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say to our dad that a ferocious animal, devoured him. Then we'll see what happens to his dreams. Yeah. That was no fun. And it happened. They did just that. Listen, there are a few truths that we need to learn from this story. How to not give up. Don't give up on your dreams. Here's the first thing. You can write it down. Even if it didn't start off well. Because it may not start off well. It just didn't. I wouldn't say that working at the Gainesville Sun was starting off well. But not to knock the Gainesville Sun. I'm not going to, throw their name in the mud. But, working at night was tough. And it was tough working with people. There. I learned great lessons. It was good. Also, even in relationships, when I got permission to share this story from Lelaine, and just so you know, sometimes I share something and some people are like, did you, Pat, get that passed by Lelaine? Yes, I did. It's really part of our story. Lelaine and I have been married for going on 3 years now, but we've known each other for 15 years. We met freshman year of high school and first period gym class. And you remember first period gym class, anyone? Smelly armpits and stuff. Yeah, it was fun. You stink and sweaty for the rest of the day. Why do they do that? Anyway, so me, first period gym class, we become best friends for 4 years in high school. We don't date or anything. We're just best friends. God allows us to develop our friendship. And senior year of high school, I pray. And it's like, I notice an affection growing for Lelaine. And I pray about it because I was freaked out. And I said, God, is she the one? And I just knew in my spirit she was the one. I knew. It was like I had a God dream. She was the one. Now, what I say when I tell this story is the dream was inspired by the Holy Spirit, but the process early on was not led by the Holy Spirit. Lelaine and I just threw ourselves into the relationship with no accountability. There was secret sin. We fell into sexual sin. I was the biggest hypocrite in the world. For 3 years, from 2005, 2006, 2007, before I came to Victory Church, you wouldn't recognize me now. God's done a work in my heart. I'm very different. But back then, full of pride, controlling, and struggling with sexual sin. It was like this. I was a hypocrite, big time hypocrite. The kind that Jesus was like, I'm not going to have any part with you. I'm going to go heal these broken people who are humble. I was not in God's will whatsoever. And it got to the point in 2007 where she's studying abroad in Austria, studying music in Salzburg, Austria, halfway around the world, beautiful country. She's forgetting all about me and all the pain that I'm causing her, and she calls me long distance and says, we're breaking up. I fell into the worst depression of my life. The only time in my life I've ever felt depression where I thought, I can end my life, and it will stop the pain. Yeah, that happened to me. I wasn't eating for weeks. She comes back, and she sees me, and I'm like skin and bones because I'm not eating. It was bad. And then God allows me to get into UF, and I transfer to University of Florida. But really, God was transferring me to Victory Church. Really, honestly. And then God set me on a path and her on a path of reconciliation and healing. And I can't go into all the details, but it took some years. It took some time. God did a supernatural work, and that dream stayed alive, even though I had totally wrecked it. Listen, don't give up on your dreams if you feel like you're disqualified because you made mistakes along the way. God's mercy is renewed every single day. His grace is all sufficient. He is for you. He's not against you. He loves you so much, and he says, I forgive you of that. And I just want to encourage you, receive that forgiveness. You don't have to earn it at all. He did everything on the cross for you over 2,000 years ago. You don't have to do anything more. He isn't asking you to do anything more. He didn't ask me to do anything more. And somehow he healed our relationship, and we got married September 29th, 2012. Yeah, I'm a good husband. I memorized the wedding date. Glory to God. Some of you married women know that's a miracle, right? Okay. God's grace is sufficient, and you're not disqualified even when you make mistakes. And it's not too late for you. He forgives you. And the thing is, God loves to, he really does love to use imperfect people. There's a scripture that says, God loves to use the foolish and weak things of this world, and he uses them to confound the wise. So the world is like, yeah, we know what, like, you got to have this pedigree and this background and go to this school to be something. It's like, and God goes, you don't have to. You just got to be willing. You just got to be open to letting me use you. He did that with the Apostle Paul. In the first century church, God wanted the church to be the gospel to spread to all the Gentiles, not just for Jewish people, but for every nation to believe in Jesus and to be touched by his love. And the early church wasn't cutting it. They were staying in Jerusalem, hanging out. And God says, all right, I'm going to look for not the one praying 24 hours, but the murderer. His name's Saul. I'm going to go pick him. What? I wouldn't have picked him. This guy's persecuting the early church. And God says, no, I'm going to touch his heart. And he did on the road to Damascus. Bright light. God appears to him, speaks to him. His heart changes. He's humbled, and he believes in Jesus, and God uses him to... I mean, he wrote most of the New Testament. Most of the letters in the New Testament written by the Apostle Paul. Incredible. In fact, let's read something that he wrote to his spiritual son, Timothy. 1 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful. He wasn't faithful, but he considered me faithful. I wasn't faithful to Elaine, but he considered me faithful. Even when we're not faithful, God looks at hope and vision. He dreams for your life. Considered faithful. Appointing me to his service. And it goes on to say, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. Honestly, we don't understand the effects that our sin has on other people. We're really ignorant. But God, that's why God is so merciful to us. So merciful to us. Don't give up on your dreams. Secondly, write this down. Even if the journey is full of surprises. Why? Because the journey will be full of surprises. It will be. Yeah. In fact, I'd say there's going to be probably twice as many bad days as there are good days. Pastor Mike, be more positive. I'm positive there's going to be twice as many bad days as there are good days. It's the truth. Let's look at the story of Joseph, go back to him, and I'm going to give you a summary, but I'm going to want some crowd participation, so I'm going to throw up some events. First event on the screen, you know, Joseph was sold into slavery to Potiphar, an Egyptian man, sold into slavery. Is that a give up or go on movement? Give up? Give up? Okay. Next one, living in a strange country far from home. Give up or go on? Give up. Yeah. Given favor in Potiphar's house. Favor. I mean, go on. I mean, he's given favor. I mean, God gives him favor. He's like head over the entire house. Glory to God. That's great. But then he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. Give up. Yeah. What happened there? He was being a godly man, just doing his job. She had the hots for him, and she wanted to cheat on her husband, and she tried. He refused over and over again. It got to the one point she grabbed his tunic and he ran away, and his tunic is in his hand, in her hand. His tunic is in her hand, and she goes to her husband and says, He tried to rape me. Because she was embarrassed. No one likes to be rejected. She took it personally. Whew. Then what happened? Thrown into prison. Give up. Come on. Yeah, that's not good. But then when he's in prison, what happens? He's put in charge of all the prisoners. Give up or go on?
Go on.
I mean, this was like, it's not like the nice prisons. We have nice prisons compared to what they had. They had dungeons, underground, caves, and like hunchback, like warden, like, you know, like crazy, with like one eye bulging out. It's like, and, you know, the Bible says that he had favor in the eyes of the warden. It's more like favor in the eye of the warden. You know, it's like... put in charge of all the prisoners. That's the Mike's translation version of that. So what happens? Next event that happens, forgotten by the cupbearer. What happens there? I mean, give up. This cupbearer, the cupbearer was thrown into prison, and he had a dream that he was going to be restored back to his position. And Joseph interprets that dream. He says, just remember me when you get out. and say something favorable to the Pharaoh when you get out. He forgot. He forgot. And then what happened? Remained in prison 2 years longer than that? Give up or go on?
Give up.
Boy. But then became second in command in Egypt. Come on now. Go on, right? Go on to that dream where you're going to be able to bless your family and they're going to be all around you and like something's going to happen here. Second in command. He interpreted one of Pharaoh's dreams that no other man, the magicians, the wise men, no one could interpret it. But God used a guy in prison to interpret Pharaoh's dream. Talk about humble beginnings and that process of going, that journey. But he kept going. So I say that all to say this, like, 2 out of 3 times, more often than not, you're going to have twice as many bad days as there are good days. It's like, well, encourage me, Pastor Mike. All right, I'll encourage you. Here's the go-to message when you're going through tough times, when you're having a bad day. Romans 8:28. It's in your notes. And we know, and would you say this with me? We know that in all things, come on, say it loud, in all things. Oh, you don't have to keep going. That was good, though. just the highlighted version. Sorry. But in all things, that's your marriage, your job, your health, your kids, your siblings, your parents. I mean, your situation in all things. It literally means in the Greek, all things, all things. God works for the good of those who love him. I fall back on the scripture so many times. It gets me through many days. I know God's faithful because I've been called, because I have a dream. I have a dream, and we have a dream as a church to see this church grow and grow and grow because heaven and hell are real, right? And we have to grow. You can look at the census numbers in our county. Tens of thousands of people not even affiliated with a church, not even affiliated with a religion, no faith at all. We're not looking to pick people from other churches. We're looking to seek and find those that are lost and share the love of Jesus with them. So we have to grow as a church. And we have to look out and have eyes to see him. Jesus said, look to the harvest. He's telling us to dream big. Look to the harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but where are the laborers? Pray for those. Pray for God to send out laborers. And honestly, I pray, Lord, send me out. Let me come across someone in my path, my neighbor. I'm reaching out to my neighbors, y'all. I'm reaching out to them. As many people as I can. I try not to insulate my life, and it's easy to do as a pastor because you're around church people, and you can just be content around church people. Just be content in those relationships. Don't be content. Have a hunger and a desire to reach out to people who are lost. Have that dream, the dream that Jesus had. We have it as a church. Our whole Sunday service is designed with the lost and unchurched person in mind. We have a heart for the lost. We're called according to his purpose. Come on. Don't give up on your dreams. Next one, even if it takes a long time to realize it, because guess what? It'll take a long time to realize it. Just saying. It'll take a long time. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3, these things I plan, they won't happen right away. They won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. And if it seems slow, next verse, if it seems slow, do not despair. For these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. Who likes that word patient? Most people hate that word patient, right? And don't we live in a society where it's like, you can take out a smartphone, you know exactly where you can go, you can get whatever you want to eat, you can order now. I mean, I downloaded the Best Buy app because I wanted to get the new Avengers Blu-ray like that. Come on. It's in the mail now. I don't have to be patient for that. And as a society, the world is not going to help you to be patient. The world will not help you to be patient. We are trained to be impatient people. But patience is so important. It's so important. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. Your dreams, when it comes to fruition, listen, God will not be overdue a single day. He's going to be right on time. God, can't you be early? No, he's going to be right on time. And we're going to talk about it in a little bit. That process is really important. We have to be patient. We have to be patient. God is right on time, even if it feels like a long time. God, there's a passage of scripture, I think it's in 1 or 2 Peter. God is not slow about his promises as we would consider slowness. But he's faithful. He's faithful. Be patient. God's faithful. he'll bring it to pass. So along the way, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we, say it out loud, do not give up. Amen. If we do not give up. Do not give up. Okay, Pastor Mike, how do you not give up? I'm going to give you three principles. Three principles. And honestly, you should laminate this and put it on your refrigerator because these principles are golden. These principles, I'll say it this way, not in a prideful way. These principles have gotten me through so many scenarios where I just felt brokenhearted and even frustrated and angry and just in confusion. These principles have gotten me through. All right, I hyped it up. Let's look at them. Number one, recognize and value the process. Don't just recognize that God's bringing you through a process. Value the process. Because God's working on your character. God cares more about our character than he does our comfort. That's good. You should write that down too. God cares more about our character than he does our comfort. He does. There's a process. God values the process. And I'll say it this way. When something is happening to you, God is wanting to do something in you. When something is happening to you, God is wanting to do something in you. He's working on our hearts. He's working on our motives. It's like God's a good father. He knows how to discipline us and help us along the way. Discipline is not mean and angry. Maybe you were disciplined as a child and you thought, why? Or my parents, like my dad's like, get up out of bed, go to school. Why? I'm so comfortable. It's like, I don't care about your comfort. I care about you being able to move out one day. Come on. Get claps from some fathers in the room. Glory to God. God's a good father. Listen, there's some powerful scriptures here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, it says, So be truly glad. What? There is wonderful joy, not now, but ahead. Wow. There's wonderful joy ahead. It's coming. It's coming. Even though you have to endure for many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. Like, it's not like faith that's here today, gone tomorrow, back and forth, like a pendulum, like, I don't need to. Do I believe? No, I don't believe. It's like, oh, things are going good. I believe God. I can trust you for anything. Oh, things are going bad. Well, I don't really believe. No, it's like God's looking for faith that's genuine. Faith is built on trust and relationship with God. And that's what we want you guys to experience is that, to know God. The first part of our vision, know God. Know God. Have that relationship. Yeah, good. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. I remember I was right where you're at. Actually, I was sitting right there in one of these chairs right up front. This was in, I think, 2010, 2011. Pastor Bill was preaching on this very scripture. And I was at a crossroads in my life where I was like deciding, do I move? Do I pursue the dream that I wanted to pursue of being an engineer, making X amount of money a year and having this life that I dreamed about? Or do I pursue this dream that God's giving me? That's going to take some sacrifice, some character development, some sacrifice, serious sacrifice. And I was at this crossroads, and I remember Pastor Bill teaching on this. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. That's Pastor Bill was talking about the skimming process. When you refine gold, you add a lot of heat to the gold. It brings up the impurities to the top, and the person skimming it skims the surface. And each time it's a process over and over again until that person can see his face, his reflection in the gold. And that's the way Jesus is with us. I'll never forget this teaching from Pastor Bill. Thank you so much for sharing that message. I get to share it again today. Jesus is working on our hearts. He doesn't always create the fire and the heat and the problem. It doesn't come from God always. But God still uses it to add that pressure and add that discomfort, to bring impurities up to the top, our wrong motives, our selfishness, our pride. It comes to a surface, and God's saying, oh, don't worry, I'll skim it. I'll get it out of there. I'll get it out of there until he sees his reflection in us. That's good. Amen. That's good. Give some praise and thanks to Pastor Bill for sharing that. And the thing is, your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. When Jesus comes back, you're going to be like, thank God I endured. Yeah. Jesus is on his way back, and he's looking for a church that's enduring, dreaming big, not giving up on their dreams, not giving up on his dreams that he has for us as a church. Come on. Let's be faithful and patient and endure and have faith in God. James chapter 1, verse 2 says this, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials." I've never come across anyone who goes, "Woo, yeah! What's up? I'm facing a trial. Yeah." I've never come across anyone do that. But I'm trying to help you kind of have that attitude when you're going through stuff. I'm trying to help you have that attitude, that heart, to be like, all right, I can consider it pure joy. When I face many trials, many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. In one passage it says develops patience. And it goes on to say, let patience have its work in you, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Well, I don't want to lack anything. All right, get ready. Get ready for the process. It's okay. Get ready for the process. Second principle, and this is really good, refuse to let offense stop you. Refuse. This is so important. So important. Like, Joseph had a right to be offended, right? He was the first victim in the Bible of the slave trade. And when you talk about sex slave trade industry, horrible. It's happening right now. Terrible injustice in our world. Terrible. And as a church, we need to be at the forefront of that, calling out and leaders who are keeping it secret and even taking part in that themselves. I pray that it gets exposed because we can't have that going on in our nation. Can't have that. But Joseph was one of the first slaves sold, and first guys in the Bible sold into slavery. And he had a right to be offended, right? He was offended. But he refused to let it stop that dream. Refused to let it. In fact, this is what he says when he's an Egyptian. He's second in command. He's in the whole garb of, he's got the eye makeup and the little, cobra and, funny garment. And it's like, he looked the Egyptian part. He didn't look like a Hebrew anymore. And his brothers come. There's a famine in the land. His brothers come to try to buy grain and food from Egypt. And Joseph is right there, and they are bowing down before him. His dream became a reality. And at that moment, what do you think he did? What would you do? May the plague of 1,000 camels go to your armpits. It's like someone crazy. It's like, go build my pyramids. It's, right? A lot of us would be tempted to do something crazy like that. And it is crazy because God's about mercy and grace. It's about forgiveness. He forgave us for so much. He's forgiven me for so much. Forgiven me for so much. And I got to extend that forgiveness to others. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, Joseph said this, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." God intended it for good. Yeah. God will take the messed up stuff that happens in our lives, and even the people who really messed us up royally at an early age, he'll take all that and he will cause it all to work together for good. He didn't cause it, but he will cause it all to work together for good. That's his promise to us. Jesus said this, Luke chapter 17, verse 1, then he said to his disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come." So don't pray, "Lord, let me avoid that person who really annoys me." And God's going to be like, "I'm going to have you cross paths with that person today." Because offenses are going to come, and we got to learn to not let offenses drag us down. Not let a root of bitterness get in our hearts, but dig it out and say, "No, I forgive them in the name of Jesus." In fact, I pray that God, it's like part of our daily prayer, the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be our name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He says, "Forgive me as I forgive those who trespass against me." That's like our daily prayer. And even before you get offended, just say, "I'm just going to forgive people. I know likely I'll be offended today. I'm just going to forgive him now, ahead of time. I'm just going to guard my heart now, ahead of time. Just say, I'm not going to let that bitterness get in. Just not." Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, God is so good. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says this, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark." I mean, it's not against people. Understand who your enemy is. Your enemy is the devil. Who wants to stomp out your dreams? It's not people. It's not people speaking negativity into your life. It's the devil. Just recognize the spirit that's in operation behind people. Show mercy to those people, but man, take prayer fight that fight of faith and say, I rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. Don't say it to the person's face because they don't understand that. And that'll be weird too. Don't do that. But like when you're praying in the early morning hours and you're praying, say, God, you know, I know I'm going through a fight right now. And I know that there's some people in my life that are speaking negativity, and I recognize that that's a negative spirit. And I rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. And take that authority that you have as a believer in Christ. Take that authority. Understand, we war against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's where we war. That's where we're fight. That's where our fight is at. When the rubber hits the road, that's whether our dream becomes a reality is whether we win that battle in the spiritual. Very important. Now, before I give you this last fill in the blank, I've noticed there's something that always happens when the people fill in the last part. All of a sudden, it gets really, everyone's moving around, jostling stuff. I'm going to ask you to fill in that last fill in the blank and just put your stuff in your lap, because I'm believing God's going to take this last message point into a time of ministry. Okay? So the third principle that you need to know, remember, God is always with me. God is always with you. Go and write that down, put it in your lap. I'm going to go through a series of scriptures, and I just want you to sit back. Don't even write anything down. I'm not looking for you to gain a bunch of knowledge right now. I'm looking for God to just touch your heart right now. So just look at these scriptures on the screen and let it speak to you now. Genesis 39, verse 2 says this. See, Joseph, when he was in the pit, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. Like, I mean, even when he was in the pit, God said, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. Genesis 39, verse 20, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor. Psalm 139, if I go up to the heavens, guess what? God's there. If I make my bed in the depths, guess what? God's there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, God's there. If I settle on the far side of the sea, God's there. Even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Don't give up. God's there. Isaiah 43, 2, when you pass through the waters, God will be there. God's saying, I'm there. And when you pass through the rivers, I'm there. They will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. I'm there. Isaiah 43, 5, do not be afraid, for I am with you. God's there. Jeremiah 1, 8, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 1, 19, they will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you. God's there. And he will rescue you, declares the Lord. And this is the coolest thing. Jesus said this, literally some of the last words he said before he ascended into heaven. He says this in Matthew 28, 20. And teaching them to obey everything commanded, he says, surely I am with you always. I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Right to the point where your dream becomes a reality, God is with you. Just close your eyes right now. Close your eyes. Let's go into a time where I feel like the Holy Spirit just wants to minister to some people. Because right now, that last minute of this message, you knew, wow, someone in here, you just know, that message was for me. I was about to quit. I was about to give up. I just needed to hear that God was with me. Father, I just ask you by your Holy Spirit to minister encouragement and stir up faith. Stir up that joy and peace that only comes from you. Wrap them up in your loving arms, God. Comfort them now, Holy Spirit, I pray. And encourage them to not give up on their dreams. Not give up. Thank you, Lord. And with every eye head bowed, every eyes closed, you know, some of you hear this message and you go, boy, that all sounds really good. But you're feeling this gap between you and God. You're feeling this gap in your relationship. You know you're distant. You know you're far. Maybe you never even prayed a prayer to him. Maybe you did a while back, but you know you've drifted. You know you've just been far apart from him. Listen, God loves you so much, and he is ready to take you right now in his loving arms and just welcome you back into relationship. And what does it take from us? It just takes a simple prayer of surrender. Just letting our guard down, just saying, God, Jesus, I need you. I want you back. I want to be in relationship with you. If you want to pray a simple prayer of surrender, just giving your life to Christ, getting back into relationship with him, I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. I just, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, just raise your hand right now. Count me in that prayer. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Put those hands down. Awesome. Now everyone pray with me. Help them out. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I surrender my life to you. I ask you to stir up dreams inside of me. I want to be your son or daughter. I want to be your child now. Adopt me as your own. Forgive me and cleanse me. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a child of God. I receive your love. I receive your forgiveness. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Would you give God praise? If you believe, that's the best prayer anyone could ever pray. Come on.